those who love and serve the Savior. Eye hath not heard, I have never seen, the home prepared for those who follow faithfully the road that Jesus walked and said, come follow me. There is a place where there is peace and joy and singing, the song of saints bought by the blood of Calvary. There we will meet with the redeemed of all the ages, and we will sing redemption songs eternally. In that adversity, I have a mansion there for me. God's word has promised the final victory. He'll catch his waiting bride away, and by his side she'll stay eternally. Through all the tears, the trials, the hardships and the sorrow, there is a purpose, a plan he has for me, whereby his word I'll have complete and full salvation, and the blood of Jesus Christ still there for me. Though it is true we're often weak and heavy laid on, still Jesus died to save and set the captives free. His word alone shall stand when all the rest have fallen, and the Lamb will be the light of that fair city. In that fair city, I have a mansion there for me. God's word has promised the final victory. He'll catch his waiting bride away, and by his side she'll stay eternally. In that fair city, I have a mansion there for me. God's word has promised the final victory. He'll catch his waiting bride away, and by his side she'll stay eternally. In that fair city, in that fair city,
Just loves to hear that, hear his bride sing, express unto him our love. Blessed be his wonderful name. We have a prayer request tonight, we won't remember, but it's Sister Cynthia Clarkson requesting prayer for her son Peter, who is suffering with sore throat, fever, and vomiting, also for the salvation of his soul. Amen. Let us pray. If you have a special request upon your heart, have faith and believe God also. Whatever we ask the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, He will give it unto us. That's a promise. If two shall touch anything, it shall be done. As believers, we believe His word. We are fully persuaded He is able to keep that which we commit unto Him even against that day. It is impossible for God to lie. Then what a confidence we can come, approach Him on the basis of His promise, of His invitation that He has given unto us to come boldly before the throne of grace that we shall obtain mercy. Knowing His ear is not deaf that He cannot hear, neither His arm short that He cannot save. Our God is able. Heavenly Father, as we stand in Your presence tonight, truly from the depths of our hearts, that song has been expressed, we love You, Lord. Now that these seven seals have been opened, and the great mystery of God has been unfolded down to us, and Lord, we recognize the great provision that You have made concerning us, the security that You have given unto us as believers, the sure promise that we have, the seal that You have placed upon that promise, that heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of Your word shall anywise fail. And then, Lord, knowing while we are sinners, You did die for us. You loved us first, and You gave Yourself a propitiation for our sins, our mistakes, our failures, our shortcomings, our sins. It never influenced You that You should not do it for us. Never thought, not for one moment, there would be a wasted effort to do something like that for undeserving people. But the love so filled Your heart, Lord. You wanted to do it. And nothing, Lord, was going to turn You around or hinder You from doing it for us. And then coming back and giving it unto us as a free gift. We didn't have to do nothing for it. Father, we certainly thank You tonight. Such love that God can love sinners such as us. How wonderful is love like this. Truly, Lord, that the songwriter says, if all the oceans were ink, the skies were parchment made, and every stone and every quill and every man was scribe by trade, to write the love of God would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the crow contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That is nothing but the truth tonight, Father. That's how we feel in our hearts. We certainly appreciate the love gift that you've given unto us. I pray, dear God, for this request. Mother's love for her son. Believing, dear God, that you are more than able, and we know you are more than able. I pray, dear God, you be mindful of her petition tonight. As it comes before you and we standing here, together with her joined in heart, praying according to divine promise. That if we believe that we have received what we ask for, we shall have it. Lord, we believe tonight. May she receive her heart's desire in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to your divine promise. And every brother and every sister, everyone, every believer that is standing here, holding fast to these song words, holding fast to divine promise, believing it, oh God, that you would grant unto them tonight the petition that they desire of you. They have that confidence in their hearts that they are asking according to your already expressed will. Then we know you will not withhold no good thing from them. We thank you, Father, for every need that you have met tonight already. And that you will meet, because your people stands here asking with faith tonight. And you cannot help but respond to your children when you see hearts believe in your promise. We thank you for that. Lord, even as we gather here to hear your word tonight, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please you. I pray tonight, Father, that the word would go deep down into the hearts of your children. And Lord, it would bring such a faith on the inside. Faith, Lord, that would bring your promise to pass in this hour. Faith sufficient for this hour. Faith that would please you in thought, in word, and in deed. Let your love be shed abroad in every heart tonight. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will abide with us throughout the course of this service. I would attend to all that we have need of tonight. And your presence will be felt in a special way. The hearts and lives will be encouraged. Lord, you know deep down in the hearts of your children, Lord, what they're expecting of you to do for them. I pray that you would grant unto them their heart's desire tonight. They would be encouraged, Lord, in this dark hour that we are living in, these perilous times. But I remember your promise. It says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always. I'll be with you and in you even until the end of the age. God, that comforts our heart tonight. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I'll send a comforter, even the Spirit of truth. May you abide with us tonight, and may you work in our hearts. May, Lord, you lift us up on high ground. We pray and we ask these things. And if there be one, don't know you tonight, if there be one that is not a Christian, have made a real decision, not joining a church and holding on to some profession, but that know you by a true experience of having the sins remitted, of coming, Lord, to receive your Holy Spirit in their lives, walking in the light as you in the light and having fellowship with you. If there be one, Lord, like that tonight, a desire that you would make yourself real to them and, Lord, show yourself alive. Confirm your word of promise in the life of this hour. One that is hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I pray that you would meet with them tonight in this service. Lord, they would go back home different from the way they come. They would hear your voice tonight. For he said, my sheep will hear my voice. They will follow me. May they hear it. May they follow in every ordinance and every word you have required of them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we ask these things. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may have your seat. I want to welcome everyone in the house of God tonight. We certainly appreciate you all being here by the grace of God. And we have a little betrothal tonight, and we have also a little marriage to take place, and we will do it after the service. These are some saints who had plans to be married and out in the world, and they come and have heard the message and been in the assembly here for some time, and now that they've been baptized and walking in Christian faith, they would like to just follow up and have their marriage blessed and the union, and walk in every way of the word. And I just wanted to take the time to do this tonight because I'm leaving tomorrow. Many of you all know that already. And we just want to do all that we could do and make everything right that we could do before the Lord Jesus comes. We know that we have the opportunity, we have the word. You send forth the light in this hour, how we should live, how we should walk, how we should serve Him, what is lacking in our lives, what we should do. And we want to do all these things that when He comes, He would find us not wanting, not lacking anything by the grace of God. And also we have some saints here who have come over in the assembly, and they used to be in El Socorro at one time, and they have come over in this season. I have talked with them, and you know, it's a very kind of a little touchy situation sometimes when you have people in one assembly that come to another, especially when they're already in the message. And you know, I just have spoken with them and made sure that there is no nothing left undone, and they're coming over here, that everything has been done in decency and in order. Because you know, you could be right up in the thick of everything, right there where God is moving and working, and your life could be as dry as you're in a nightclub in the world if your life is not right with God. Being right there don't mean nothing. Have the front seat here. Even standing behind the pulpit here don't even mean nothing. If that life is not right with God, for God to bless it, you have to be free from anything that would hinder the Holy Spirit. And we certainly like to emphasize that. And, you know, always let people know that we don't believe in people, you know, just running from church to church. And I had to talk with them and had the satisfaction in my own heart. Sometimes it's kind of difficult when you question people and, you know, they maybe didn't expect you to question them, you know, to a great extent, to find out why they're coming and the purpose they're coming for. But I have accepted the testimony. I've accepted the testimony of the experience of why they have come and the decision they have made. I've respected it, and I trust that they would find it being comfortable here, and it would be a blessing for them here. Because if they make a decision, then you want to make a decision that would be a blessing for your life. Amen. I have no special blessing to give no person. We here struggling. We have a lot of conditions here. In that church, they might leave a lot of better people to come over here and meet a lot of people here. You know, what they criticize or what maybe didn't meet the expectation, they may come over here and find the very same thing. I sure don't believe that we're in heaven here. And I sure even had to, in the midst of those, even had to ask other people to find another place to fellowship. It don't mean I forgive them. You see, sometimes even I in my own self just wonder if I could stop somebody from coming here if I don't forgive them. But you see, forgiving somebody and somebody fellowshipping are two different things. It's two different issues altogether. I just believe that it would be better for some people to be in another assembly for their own Christian life. And, you know, sometimes God do things in a strange way. One time a prophet tells somebody, say, you go and get washed in that river. And they find they should get washed in this river. It's because they feel they're washed in this river, they get clean. And God had taught different. God said, if you're washing that river, you get clean. See, because sometimes being clean don't depend on which river you're washing, it depends on obeying God. And you know, and God is still the same God. God haven't changed anything you read about God in his Bible back there in a way of his nature and his person that cannot change. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's God who changes not. But sometimes we, our carnal minds, you know, we kind of figure, well, God do this for this one, God do that for that one. Well, Jesus tell one man go wash in the pool, and then he tell one man go and show himself to the priest. One man had a leprosy, and he blindness here. He spit and mixed spit and clay in one man's eye, and he prayed for the next man. He didn't even put spit and clay. You see, so, you know, it's not like everybody going to have the same thing, same experience. Everybody thinks it's different. And this is where we want to be able to be matured Christians and to be carnal because, you know, for the time I feel the carnal mind coming against your word, but I'm going to have to say it's the carnal mind because sometimes the carnal mind can't even understand spiritual things. It's enmity with God to begin with. But the Bible says, and you know, that's the biggest hindrance in the church is the carnal minds trying to understand spiritual things and you know putting the opinion to spiritual things and just breed impersonations and you know sometimes you go to try to explain things to people and so not because you're trying to justify yourself but to help them. And that's why I see many times I do explain a lot of things that I do because I don't see fit and it's necessary to explain some of the things because I believe in the office where God has placed me. Yet God has given us an authority to do things according to my leadership, and I have to give account to Him. And that's what I try to do. And if that tries to stumble somebody, then I can always show you the word what I'm doing because I'm not doing anything off of my own feelings. I'm trying to do things by spiritual judgment. Bible says, He that is spiritual judges all things, especially when you have responsibility because. Many times the person in the congregation don't have no responsibility. It's easy for them to ask why this? They don't have a decision to make. They go to sleep and they fall asleep every time they hit the pillow. But then you have decisions to make. Then, you know, the way you make a decision is going to determine the direction the church is going to go. It's going to determine what kind of influence it's going to have, what kind of spirit is going to prevail in the church, what kind of thing is going to be done, whether it's going to be understood or not understood. And sometimes, as Brother Ram says, he said, leaders cannot tell the people everything. And, you know, you have to respect that. As I say, when you're following something, when you come in the message, you didn't understand three-quarters of the message when you accept the message. You know what I'm saying? And when Jesus ate my flesh and drew my blood, he didn't explain that to them. And the reason the prophet shows those things is that spiritual things are that way. See, God has given you sufficient to know that it's God you're following. When you recognize it's God, then you just follow in obedience. Because if everything be explained to you, that is not faith. See, and that is why, you see, many a times you have to know is the word. And whatever being done be according to the word, you watch it because God will not bless nothing that is not the word. See. But you see, there's a part of the word for a believer, there's a part of the word for a minister, there's a part of the word for a person outside there. Everybody have a part of the word to fulfill. And you would not be called, God would not require of you what you require of me. I mean, we all live a Christian life, basically. But you're not responsible for people. You don't give account to people. A man may not give account for his immediate family. I have to give account to these people I'm preaching to here. What I'm teaching them by the word of God and these things. You see? So it's different. You see? So we, in one sense, we all right there have our responsibility. In another sense, you know, it's a little different. And sometimes, you know, especially explaining things from the pulpit, it may satisfy a lot of people's curiosity and it may do a lot of great damage also. And that's why when I'm doing things, I'm thinking about the general assembly and not an individual curiosity. So sometimes, you know, I guess we all understand that because I'm sure if I have families here and I ask them if they say certain things in front of the children. They know they say certain things in front of the children, other things they don't say in front of the children. Exactly right. And if I ask them if there are a reason for why they don't say certain things in front of their own children, well, they say children small and someone understands certain things, and you know, it may be a little better because next thing the neighbors, children may tell the neighbors, or children may talk it in school, or children may say it somewhere else. And it may hinder the real purpose of what we try to achieve in the home. All right, we have certain things. It mustn't go in school. And it mustn't go outside, all right? Okay, you understand that. You see, God make it simple, you know. Spiritual thing is simple if you have an open heart and your mind simple. From the time you get out of God's spirit, it gets hard to understand, get complicated. Because now you're trying to relate to a spiritual thing with a carnal mind. From the time you stay in the spirit, everything is normal in the spirit. And God designed that way, and love just flow freely, and nobody feels be hurt for the wrong purpose. But you see, feelings get hurt for the right purpose. God has hurt feelings. God has the hurt feelings many times to die the feelings. Because not all feelings come from God. You understand that? God kicked around Moses when Moses was making an excuse. God didn't feel safe, and God kicked him around more. See? God has a hurt Peter feeling and said, get me hence, Satan. He sat with him, a man, not of God. But that never took away the keys from him. All right. You understand what I mean? See? So sometimes people, you know, they feeling get hurt or something, they get rebuked, they feel like they lost something, they didn't lose nothing. What God ordained for you is for you. Amen. You see, faith does relate to things different to feelings. Yeah. And if you relate to things according to feelings, you get problems. If you relate to according to faith, you have no problems whatsoever. But faith will always stay with the word. Yeah. Faith will always agree with the word. Yeah. So may God bless your heart tonight. And, you know, I'm playing a little tape tonight and a little series of messages I want to play for you. And it's what I preach in Ohio. On the seven trumpets, and I preached it not as a series here because we didn't have time to have like a set of meetings. And some of the brothers get a little inspiration, they want to put it up in a book, and they began looking up into it. And I think it'll be a real blessing for you to get it. And you know, while I was preaching some of these things, I was so pressed. This is a little testimony before we turn it deep. I was so pressed. Trying to bring the message, because it's not like a little sermon, and it's not what you're going to maybe just see at a glance in the message. It's been something have been laid in the message and have not been uncovered until this time. The Holy Spirit have come and brought it out to the world, because I'm sure none of you never have heard the things preached before until this time when the Holy Spirit opened it up. Then it was so simple because it was writing the Bible, like anything else. Whatever was preached in the seven seals, it seems to strain away, and the white horse was always that. Ever since Johnson's vision, the white horse was the devil. But for 400 years of Christianity and thousands of minutes and thousands of Bible schools and thousands of great scholars, they couldn't come up with the answer. And then one day in a room, in a few seconds, a man called it, that's the devil. And then it becomes so plain ever since. I was always that. But until that time, when God had chosen to release it, it couldn't be released. So, you know, being pressed to bring the messages, especially away, and when you preach away, you're preaching to people, you're not the pastor, and they have not sat with you for 12 years. So they don't believe everything you say right away. So then you have to almost prove to the people that what you're saying is not your idea. Remember, you're going in a country where they're accustomed to a new idea and a new interpretation every day. And a new person rises up saying again revelation from God too. And people don't have time for that. See, and especially there's something like this, you know, that where you would consider the authorities of the message or the person who say, oh yeah, here, them talk, this one talk about that already, and here's one talk about that already. So I know what I have a kind of idea where you're coming from. See? But when it's something that is coming out, and it's coming out, you know, the way it's coming out, and it's not related to any great personality or any person name on the table or anything, then it means to say, if you know the word and have been a student of the word, you could relate and you could see many of the things. But what happened was that having to bring these messages and trying to bring it in a way of proving these things and supporting it from the message and the scripture and with documents and different things, science and different things like that, to prove what you're saying, I was not, what should say, satisfied at the time that enough was coming out in one service to absolutely prove that these things have been revealed. Because one service would finish, the time would finish, an hour and a half, 2 hours, and yet you're left with so much more you want to say to support what you're saying. And then since there's only 4 services, you know, unless you have 8, 9 services or so, 4 services, so you're just trying to hit the key places and put it out there that somebody who is sincere would study. Now, normally in Ohio, when we go to Ohio, the saints there have so received the ministry and the messages by an experience that they have had with the Holy Spirit and the ministry that it, they don't suffer a complex. The minister, you know, he will take the tapes, give it to his people, and then he himself would study it and begin to preach from it for months and months and months until he's satisfied that the church have it. Because he is not receiving it as just somebody passing through. He's receiving it as God has released certain things through a certain channel here. Not to make it a personality cult, but he feels that there's a ministry that is bringing out the word that the prophet has spoken. And because of that, he and the church gets together and they support the cause of bringing you up to be able to speak what God have given you to them as a church. Because they recognize that they want that ministry functioning in the assembly because they believe it's part of the body of Christ. And being there, when you're preaching to people like that, then you find it is very easy and you can put out so quite a lot to them because you know they're going to take it. And if you have to say certain things that you could say to your own church and get kind of a little complex, it might be misunderstood by other people, you could say they're very easy because they're going to accept it in the right way. In other words, if I say these things have not been revealed before, it's not been revealed, you ain't going to run off and say, I start in a personality cult. Because, you know, for years, we preach against that. Anybody thinking so would miss the boat a million miles and would be doing more harm to what you're trying to do than good. Because they have the wrong concept of it. But I'm saying so from a point of, as far as I know, and as far as these things being preached on, but seeing that it was a message that was supposed to come forth. You see, not like a messenger, because the prophet says, he says, I am going to give you sermons to dovetail all scripture. Because he was going to open up so much. He said, in the last days, these sons of God, why don't we shepherds? The shepherds will find these things laying in the manger. All those things have been preached in the message. Somebody been taught in the message, know that the minister is to bring out the things that is hidden in the message. See, now it's upon that kind of basis I'm saying. Maybe it's good to explain because some of you have some new people coming in. When new people come in, they make a misunderstanding, you see. So it's on those basis. So there in the church there, I listened back these tapes just maybe last week. For the first time after I preached it. So I preached it, but I don't listen back. So and when I listened back, I was so convinced at the end that really, it's like I was not getting a revelation myself. Like, really, these things have been revealed. I listened to it, you know, with a mind and knowing what the scriptures say. And if somebody have to hear it, and I'm hearing it back, I'm listening to it, and I'm following the Bible and doing it how it's put across. And in the end, I said, these things have really been revealed in truth. There's not a dog, you know, but it didn't want, in a mind exists. So come and try to tamper with that. I mean, I can say my angel from a headman says, I mean, well, let it be a curse. That have been the thorough interpretation of the scriptures. And not only that, I'm going to preach a BC, and it's a message in my heart to give out, because when something like that breaks major in the message, it will preach to the world. See? So you find out what happened. But I had an experience in 1984, many of you went, when I tried to preach some of the things, it couldn't be received, it couldn't be received as unbelief, but the people wasn't to that level yet in the word. And, you know, it was very difficult. So I wrestled with that over and over and over in my mind, going up this time, what I should preach, just what I'm preaching at present here, also. And I sit down and study one day, a couple of days ago, and while I was there studying, looking back at the same things, I've been to get some inspiration. And I drew a chart and right there, and after I finished drawing it out, just the inspiration of what I preach. In all these months, as the message was coming out, and then preaching those four messages there, it all come in one like that. And just putting a chart like that, just like that, with every single thing that comes up in the message, visual, that if somebody can follow the picture while we're speaking, it's visual right there to prove and show where the scripture is. And when that happened again, I said it's a double confirmation, because if when you're going to put the scriptures down there, if it don't line up in your mind, when you're going to write it down, you're going to need to line up. You got contradictions. But when the whole thing comes out and dovetail back like that, until some further things come out, I realize, I say, you know, this is really something. So what I have in mind, one of the brothers, Brother Russ, get the parcel to you, we get printed, so that when the other message is being played, you'll be able to follow it out. You see? And you'll be able to follow it to help you, because on Wednesdays is just in the midst of what we teach on Wednesdays too in San Fernando. So it will even help you in a little deeper way to see exactly what is taking place. So I trust that the Lord really bless your heart with these things at this time, because it's been a direct message to the church. It's been a very tremendous opening of the scriptures and the message in a further phase for us. And this is why I'm trying to go out there, and you pray for me. My mind is so tired right now. I wonder where it's going. I just tell the brothers before I come out here to preach. This morning I was going to ring up some Margaret, some letters to do, and I ring up my number. And I have there, and I say, well, but why the phone busy? Why she so busy? So then I put on the phone, so I'll call back a little while again, and then I realized what I was doing. I was actually ringing my own self. Ring up my number, and then, you know, here is, you know, coming up the road again, and we're turning from the bypass to the highway in San Fernando here. And I get on the lane to turn over to the highway. I wonder, what's on this lane going, Marabella? And then, you know, I'll make a quick turn and get back on the highway. And I say, well, you know, it's so much, I think, the last few moments. And because from this morning, the phone ring, I was talking to one person, start putting them on hold and talking to the next person, because everyone want to talk to you when you get ready to leave. And, you know, just so much things to do. And just today, I'm getting my tax clearance cleared, and, you know, it's a whole area. So I trust him by the grace of God to just be a little quiet tonight and feed my own self too here in the world. And I want to start for you, because I felt that in preaching here, we had too much of a big break in services before the second message came, before the third message came. But right there, just preaching 1, 2, 3, 4 like that, then the fullness of it came out, and I'm totally convinced it has come out. So I really want you to see. Quickly, I want to just acknowledge some people here in the service. The brothers who came over, Brother Ansel Tinto and his family. Just want to extend to God bless you, brothers. Just tell them, maybe it seems good to see you. As your brother here, he's come over with his family. Amen. Brother Martin Pierre and his family, is he here? Brother Martin here? God bless your heart, brother. Brother Michael Lewis, Amen. This brother here also, Brother Wilfred Tyrrell. God bless your heart, brother. Brother Ming Suma and his wife. God bless you. Amen. And Sister Pearl Myers and her daughter Karen Charles. God bless your heart. We just want to extend to them the right hand of fellowship. Make them feel welcome. Make them feel, remember when you see them, they're not a stranger. They are a fellow sojourner and fellow pilgrim. Amen. One of the fellow citizens of the household of faith. Right here, God have added them to the assembly in this season. And I trust that they feel comfortable to serve the Lord here. And it would be a blessing for them to be here. And they also, in turn, would be a blessing to the saints being here by the grace of God. Amen. Also, a child's sweater was found in the field on Tuesday. That's in Trintock. There we had a little time of relaxation and it was real nice. And many of the saints was there. And some of them were so tired. They reached service late yesterday. But nevertheless, amen. Somebody green sweater and two black bands on the it has two black bands on the sleeve. Anyone missing could contact Brother Rojas. You miss your sweater, Brother Rojas have his sweater for you. Amen. Also, another praise is a Marian man. We'd like to thank the Lord for his divine protection. When a son fell from a double-decker bed, hit his head, prayers offered for him, and he recovered. Thank God. Amen. A real height to fall from a little boy, and God was mindful watching over him. Let's just pray as we turn this over towards the tape. Oh, gracious Father, I pray at this time that the Holy Spirit will just quiet our hearts and make us receptive and help us to concentrate to hear your word. And may it be an inspiration and blessing to us that we can be edified by these things that you have revealed unto us this hour to help prepare us for great rapture in faith. Bless each and every one that gathered here in your presence tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Now let's turn the service over. There I said, let us come. I mean, shalom, sorry. O Lord my God, our words a lamp unto my feet. Showing us the way how we must drive along. Just come on this side for me, please, and the other one just come here. Amen. This is our brother Roger Algin, who was baptized recently, and our sister Patricia Christian, and our brother Leo Haynes, and Sister Batiste, Patricia Batiste, Bernadette Batiste, please forgive me, sister, I'm terribly sorry for that. Amen. Just don't grasp the names right at all times, but nevertheless, by the grace of God, Brother Roger, our brother's mother is here, our brother Leo's mother is here, and our sister Daddy's here tonight. Amen. We certainly happy for them that the Lord could open his word to them in this hour. Call them out of darkness, call them out of the world, out of a life of sin, to walk and serve him, to be washed in his precious blood, to hold a true testimony in this hour. Amen. Certainly know that they are very thankful and very happy for what God has done for them. And may he richly bless them. May you have a prayer in your heart tonight for them. I know many of you don't really know them personally, they've been new in the assembly. But certainly God have drawn them by his Holy Spirit in this hour. And they just want to walk in all the world and just have their lives lined up. Amen. In every way that it be pleasing unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We just sing a couple of verses of this song to get the atmosphere right. And then we're going to have them to take their vows and so on by the grace of Almighty God. O Lord my God. Oh Lord, my God, thou wilt.
showing us the way. How we must strive along. Oh, the seventh seal has brought an open vision. The seventh seal has brought an open vision unto us, revealing Christ. Oh, the way, the truth, the door. And he says, peace. Peace, peace. Peace unto my lovely bride. Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom. For a new day has been broken. I've been broken, oh, from this sick and dying world, from this sick and dying world. God's life and immortality, life and immortality. All we can hear from His throne, all we can hear. Dawning of a new day we can feel over us now. The dawning of a new day. Oh, I believe they can feel it.
We can feel over us now.
Seven steps he showed.
Seven steps he showed.
God provided place.
God provided
grace. Oh, and King Theophany Jesus.
King Theophany Jesus. Is here amongst us now.
To show his bride.
To show his bride. How wrapped in grace must be.
Oh, then he says peace.
Peace unto my lovely bride.
Shalom, shalom. God's life and immortality.
And immortality. All we can hear,
all from His throne tonight.
Things happen. Not His perfect will, but He allows it even to reveal more of His grace unto us. And the scripture here in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 22, it says, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor from the Lord." Our brother Roger Algin here, and our sister Patricia Christian. You know, they had known one another out in the world before, and they had plans to be married, and then brother Brendan here began to testify to our brother, his workmate on the job. And then the word just struck his heart, seeing a Christian life, Christian testimony, hearing the word, and decided to be baptized and, you know, just lay back everything until, you know, he first surrendered his heart to the Lord. And even though they had made plans to be married before and everything else, I told him, I says, "Look, now you're a Christian, now you understand the right way of doing things. You know, make over your vow again to the sister, this time in good Christian faith. Make a real confession, confess your past, all these things that we know is required of a man or woman when they have come to the place to make a vow one towards the other." You know, he did that, and I'm really thankful to see them, you know, willing to take the advice and to walk in the word and just want to do things in the right way that's pleasing to the Lord, because we know that God only honors his word. We have no great flowery speeches to make to impress people, but we have confidence when we come according to God's word. Knowing if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask what you will. Amen. This time we just like to bow our heads and close our eyes. Our gracious Heavenly Father, this is a very special moment for our brother and our sister as they stand before this congregation, as they stand before you and your holy angels, as they stand at the position of this sacred altar at this time. Lord, you've been so good to them, to call them out of darkness in this hour, to walk in your marvelous light. You send forth, you reveal a word, and you've called them, Lord. Who can turn them away after you have called them? No one. Lord, we're so thankful to know that in this late hour, you're still seeking out that last one, bringing them to the fold, because you said not one will be lost. And here they have come to recognize the word you've sent forth. And have had to make readjustments in the life, in the plans, in the way that they would do things, Lord. But because by representation they are part of you, there is something inside of them to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God and to bring their lives in obedience to your word. Father, we appreciate that tonight. Lord, we respect people that would respect your word. I pray tonight, Father, as our brother and our sister stand here, having made a promise and good faith to marry one another. Lord, this night of their betrothal, this time here to be espoused to each other in this service, hearing the word tonight, maybe no doubt understanding all of it, but we realize we've come to the end of the world, Father. We've come to the end of this civilization. We have come to the end of this age, but you have come down to take a people out, to gather us together, to take us out of this world, knowing there is coming another civilization. There is coming another kingdom. Hallelujah. A place that you've gone to prepare for us. And you've come to receive us unto yourself. And where you are, we shall be there also. It gives us great joy tonight to know that even if they are coming here to be united, they have a hope in their heart that it's not going to end within a few days.
But with the hope and the revelation that they carry in their bosom tonight, Lord, they can look beyond this horizon to that great, glorious kingdom that's been ushered in upon the earth even now. The light shining into their hearts, giving them the knowledge of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray a blessing upon the promise that they have made one towards the other. I pray, Lord, that you would stand with them as they have taken this stand to stand one with the other. Looking forward, Lord, having plans in their hearts. That should you tarry and allow them life, Lord, that they could go forth to establish a Christian home when the time comes, when the true marriage ceremony would take place. And seeing, Lord, that they already made that plan within the next couple of months to have it all finalized, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be with them and lead them and direct them as they would make the plans, Lord, as they would, Lord, try to see all these things be materialized, that you would lead them and direct them in the course of it. And Father, may they come to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, that they would have a full understanding of the responsibility that they are undertaking. Lord, let it be inspired to their heart by your Holy Spirit. And let it bring even a greater love than exists now. May that love grow in their hearts one for the other. May the knowledge of the Lord unfold even in a greater way. Bless them, Father. Let them live clean lives until that time. May they walk circumspectly. May the great Holy Spirit who have forgiven of the sins which have been remitted in water baptism as they have taken your name and is leading them, Lord, to make everything in their lives right in accordance with your word. May you so continue with them every step until, Lord, that home is established. Until, Lord, they would become man and wife. And until, Lord, you would come to take them away from this world to be with you always. I pray a blessing upon them tonight as they come and they are betrothed in Christian faith one towards the other in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. May it be acceptable in your sight. May you be pleased with it, Lord, for we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for your honor and for your glory. Amen. I think my brother have a ring here you'd like to place upon the finger as a sign of his wife, an engagement ring. Amen. Amen, sister, you know his betrothed wife and your her betrothed husband. Not to live as man and wife as yet, but in the sight of God is your vow what really marries you. You have made it in Christian faith, in good faith, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. May God bless you all and may he keep you faithful and lead and guide you in every good thing for his honor and for his glory. Amen. God bless you. Who will I ask for this woman to be bride to this man?
Well, you don't really have one to. You're gonna come and give this bride away, sir? This is your daughter? Amen. This is your bride's daddy? Amen. Okay, mother, you come and stand beside here. That's all right. Amen. Dearly beloved, we've gathered here in the face of this company, in the presence of God, to join together in holy matrimony, this man and this woman, which is honorable, as declared by St. Paul, among all men. It is therefore not by any to be entered into unadvisably or lightly, but reverently, discreetfully, advisably, soberly, and in the fear of God. Into this holy state, these two persons present come now to be joined. If there is anyone here that can show a just cause why they should not be lawfully joined in this holy matrimony, let them now speak or forever hold their peace. I will require and will charge you both, you will surely answer the day of judgment, when the secrets of all hearts shall be disclosed, that if either of you know any impediment why you should not be lawfully joined together in this holy matrimony, do you now confess it? For be it assured unto you that any persons that are joined otherwise than God would does allow, their marriage is not lawful. But believing that you have duly considered this solemn obligation that you are about to assume, that you are prepared to enter upon the same reverently, discreetfully, wisely, and in the fear of God, I shall propose to you the marriage covenant. You will declare the same as you join your right hands. Right hands. Praise God. Well, Leo Haynes, will you take this woman to be a lawful wedded wife to live together in this holy state of matrimony? Do you promise to love, honor, and cherish in sickness and health, riches of poverty, and will forsake all others and cleave thee only unto her as long as you both live?
Yes.
Amen. Sir Bernadette Batiste, will you marry this man to be a lawful wedded husband, to live together in this holy matrimony? Do you promise to love, honor, cherish in sickness and health, riches of poverty, and will forsake all others and cleave thee only unto him as long as you both live? I require of you a token that this covenant betwixt you that's been made will always be kept. People always get a little nervous at this time. Stand up by the grace of God. Made it from their heart. Didn't know the right way before. God give them the opportunity to walk in the right way. It's always a great privilege and opportunity to serve God in the way that is right. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Almighty God, how great is your grace and your love. When we think back in the Bible, Lord, of different ones like Rahab and Lord, others that came into your economy, Lord, they may have no doubt desired to come differently and come before had they known the truth. But Lord, in their ignorance, not being taught properly as they should have been, but they have come and they've made all these things right, and they've been baptized, and their sins have been remitted and thrown in the sea of your forgetfulness. Now they stand here by faith justified, looking unto you. You would bless them, Father, now that they have the knowledge and is obedient to walk in the revealed way
that has been presented unto them. Our precious brother Leo, Lord, we've seen such a wonderful spirit inside of him, Lord. Seems to be such a noble young man. Our sister, so obedient and simple, humble. Just speaking to her the other night in the office and willing to walk in the way that's right and serve you. Always had a desire to know the way of truth and to walk in it. How I pray there'd be such a clear revelation in their hearts. There'll not be a shadow of a doubt as to your revealed truth. You send forth to gather your people together in this hour. The very truth by which they would live and serve you the remaining days upon the face of the earth until you would come to take them away. So wonderful that our brother's mother and our sister's father could be here tonight also, giving them support, standing at the side, Lord, and even thankful in their hearts that the children could walk in the way that's right. They appreciate these things, Lord. May you bless them for it. And our brother and his wife, as they've come and taken these vows from the depths of their heart, Lord, I pray that they would live under the effects of the vows which they've taken. Even this ring that symbolizes, Lord, the responsibility of that vow that our sister's wearing, a token of the love that she has for her husband and he has for her. Lord, that should always be reminded of what took place here tonight. And Lord, she would serve him faithfully. And he, Lord, would give honor to her and love her even as Christ loved the church. Let these things be such a living reality within their hearts. And regardless what the times may be, even as Paul says, what shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Shall it be famine or pestilence or tribulation or persecution or peril or sword? Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, let it be so rich and so full in their hearts and their lives. Lord, as they would go forth to establish their home in Christian faith, Lord, they would see your great blessings upon it. They would see your wonderful providence. They would see your divine protection. They would see your great hand of mercy and love. They would see your blessings in all that they undertake to do. That would be for the glory of your name. They would know that you are with them, Father. What a consolation that would be for them. May you bless them so richly with all your precious blessings tonight. May they go forth and live long lives and be rich in fruit of the Holy Spirit, and that would bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The children that they already have, may they be blessed. May they be brought under the banner of Christian love that's in the home now. May they grow up seeing real Christian examples in the parents. And should you give them more children, may they be glad to raise them for the glory of God. Bless them in every way, we pray tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. And by the word of God and the authority invested in me as a servant of God, I now pronounce you man and wife in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God richly bless you. May you go and live a life worthy of the gospel. May your light shine. May you have a happy home. May your marriage be filled with the love of Jesus Christ. And may God meet every need you have. It's my prayer for you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Just for prayer dismissal. Amen. Let us take one or two pictures. Amen. That's all as appropriate. We don't mind that. Amen. You don't want to take the next one? Take the next one. Amen. Take one more. Amen. Maybe they will want to get one after maybe the bride and the groom alone. Maybe one with just the bride and the groom now. Amen. One with just the bride and the groom. Amen. Amen. Fine, brother. Amen. And maybe the parents after, and the couple would like to get them in the office to sign the marriage certificate. We'll sign it in the office afterwards. At this time, we just want to ask God blessing this dismissal tonight. We're certainly happy for all of you being here. And sorry to keep you long if you feel disturbed about being here that long. But may God bless you anyhow. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father. Lord, whenever I'm getting ready to leave my people, it seems so hard all the time. But tonight, just thinking I'm going to be leaving them tomorrow and for those 2 weeks to be with other saints in Canada, I want to commit them into your hands, Father, as a family would always, that your Holy Spirit would be with them and watch over them and take care of them in my absence when I'm unable to fulfill my God-given responsibility. But Father, you are the great shepherd and bishop of our souls. And you are the one that have led us down through these years and guided us and supplied our every need and taken care of us. May you bless them, Father. They've been such a faithful group. We've come through many hard times together, but we'll stick close like a family, Lord. And I pray that you would be with them in a real special way. You'll meet every need that they would have, and you'd watch over them and protect them. Every family that's represented here, every brother and every sister. Oh God, as Paul said, there are written epistles in our hearts. So I feel there are my written epistles in my heart, Lord. Bless them, Father. Bless your servant, Brother Rojas. Lord, may he stand faithful and gallant. May he be strong and of a good courage. May he not be dismayed in any way. But may the people stand on his side and stand together with him and all the officers, the deacons, and the trustees. Lord, all the other ministries in the assembly, all their helps and governments. As one family, may we join together, knowing how it's important to see and stand together and shoulder our responsibility in this trying time, in this perilous hour. Standing back to back. Grant it, Lord. May you grant me a safe journey. May I go with your great blessing of your Holy Spirit. Thou bring great encouragement to the hearts of the children on that other side. Knowing, Lord, there is to be a great unity of the faith that we see coming to pass. A work of the ministry of edifying of the body of perfecting of the saints. Come into the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the stature of the measure of the fullness of Christ. Let these things be fulfilled in these coming days. And may we be in prayer one for the other. And may you watch between us while we be away one from the other, Father. Bless everyone that's gathered here, the strangers and visitors, take us safe to our homes as we go. May that never failing presence of Jesus Christ be with us always. We ask these things for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' precious name, and for his sake. Amen. God richly bless you. May have a seat. The ushers would quietly dismiss you as you go. Amen. The meetings would be, I have to begin to preach from Sunday, really. But the meetings is scheduled for the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. But I'll be preaching from Sunday, this coming Sunday, there in Vancouver. So remember me and remember that we are, I think, 3 hours ahead of them here. So by the time your service finishes, I'll be getting the pulpit on Sunday. So if you don't remember to pray for me Sunday morning, at least pray for me before you leave the building to go out. Amen. And when you're home, Wednesday night, you gather there. Amen. Pray for me. Because while you be having service praying there, I'd be in the study praying, getting ready for the service coming on a little later. And Thursday night, you'll be right here, and prayer meeting will be here on Friday. So I always have felt those prayers, always have benefited by those prayers. I'm really coveting it in a special way this time. I'm really tired, and I'm looking forward to it, hoping not to be too long, just to be 2 weeks. My ticket is not really, it's come back in 2 weeks, but I'm hoping to get changed, be back by the 3rd, the Lord willing. So may God bless you all and keep you faithful until we meet again. Amen.